I'm Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. You know those stories about charities that give out solar stoves and lights to help the poor? They're feel-good stories, and we've done them. Unfortunately, sometimes those projects with good intentions don't work out the way they're supposed to. The technologies break down, or people don't use them. Today we have a story about a small startup in rural India called Smart that also aims to make life-improving technologies available, but it's doing it in a different way. As part of our partnership with the podcast Tiny Spark, Ritu Chatterjee went to the state of Tamil Nadu to see how Smart is doing.
There's a one-room shop that stands on the side of a highway. It sells snacks and sodas to locals and people passing by. The owner, Sinapan, stands behind a shelf serving customers. Just above his head is a translucent glass disc with a pink plastic rim. Sinapan tells me it's a solar lantern.
Currently.
There's no electricity here, he says. The lantern helps him keep his shop open longer. I'm open till 10 each night, he says, so I turn it on at 7. It's been good for business, he says. And many people in nearby villages use the lantern in their homes. These lamps are distributed by Smart, a new startup headquartered in a small town about a half hour away. 28-year-old Jackie Stenson is one of the two American women who founded Smart. She shows me a catalog of what they offer.
We have 66 different types of products in it.
There are low-power refrigerators, heaters, coolers, flashlights, even an electric bicycle.
We pretty much are open to whatever the products are, so long as they improve people's lives in some way, shape, or form.
But Stenson doesn't take the typical approach of giving away these products for free. She wants rural customers to buy them with their hard-earned money. Stenson says it took a while to arrive at this approach.
I never thought I was going to be a business person. I never thought I would believe that for-profits were the solution.
Stenson, who trained as an engineer at Harvard, wanted to be the one to develop new technologies for the poor. And that's what she did for 2 years in East Africa. Then, one day in Malawi, she picked up a book on technologies for development.
And when I flipped through the book, I remember seeing all of these different technologies that I had seen previously. So a low-cost peanut sheller made in Malawi, or some water pumps or things like that. And the date on this book was April 22nd, 1983.
That was before Stenson was even born.
That really sort of hit me that a lot of the technologies that I was aspiring to work with already existed. And they had existed for a really long period of time.
And yet, she never saw villagers in East Africa using any of these products. When Stenson started to look into who did get their products to remote corners of the world, the answer was big companies like Coca-Cola and Nokia. One reason, she says, was that they credit their customers with knowing what works for them.
For so many years, you treat the lower income users as passive recipients of aid and not dignified customers with freedom to choose the solutions that best fit their lives. The for-profits were actually, in essence, forced to do so.
If they didn't, they wouldn't make a sale. Besides, she also realized that when people buy something they want with their own money, they're more likely to use it. So Stenson and Smart co-founder Diana Ju came up with the idea of selling their products in small mom-and-pop stores in India.
These stores are the portal to consumer products in rural India.
And locals trust the shopkeepers because they're members of the same community. People like K. Subramanya, who owns this store in a little village called Pusirapetti. Subramanya remembers when Smart first approached him with a few solar lamps 2 years ago. It was the first time he'd heard of a solar light. We have a lot of power cuts out here, he says. It's very inconvenient, especially for farmers who need to go out into their fields at night to turn water pumps on and off. So people mostly use flashlights, or China lights, as they call them here. But they burn out after a few hours, he says. When he learned Smart's solar lamp could last all night, he decided to stock them. Subramanya admits at first he had to convince customers to buy the lights. They cost at least $25, a lot of money. But he explained that they could use them all night. There'd be no subsequent costs, and there's a one-year warranty. People checked them out and started buying them, he says. He sold at least 300. And other shops are stocking them too. 700 stores in the state of Tamil Nadu are currently selling S-Mart products, says Diana Ju.
Through the entire network, we've sold about 5,000 products or pieces.
True, it's not a whopping number, but it's enough to reassure the founders they're on the right track. And they're learning as they go.
Often when we design these products, we're told, just make it cheaper, make it extremely affordable, take off any extraneous features.
But they're finding that the customers like products that can do many things.
So if you have a solar lantern, it's better that solar lantern is also a mobile phone charger than just a solar lantern.
It's still too early to say whether S-Mart will expand throughout India or whether their approach will be tested in other parts of the world. But for now, they're slowly catching on here, one customer at a time. 65-year-old Rukmini lives in a little hamlet of 8 huts. When I visit her one evening, she's washing dishes. The hut is dark, except for the light of a solar lamp hanging from a bamboo pole. She tells me she's lived in this hut for 60 years and never had electricity. She used kerosene lamps. And she'd spend over 500 rupees on kerosene each month. That's more than $8, about a fifth of her monthly salary. The solar lamp wasn't cheap, almost $20, but it saves her money. It's much brighter, she says, and it doubles up as a cell phone charger. I never thought I'd get something like this, she says. It feels like a gift from God. For The World, I'm Ritu Chatterjee, Pollachi, India.
Ritu's story is part of our series, Tracking Charity. What question or concern is on your mind about a particular charity or nonprofit? Or do you know of a program that's doing good that no one knows about? We want you to tell us about it at pri.org/trackingcharity. And tomorrow we bring you another story of a simple idea that could have a big impact in Kenya.